going to bring the reading now, and the reading is from Luke chapter 14, verses 1 and then verses 7 to 14. Jesus at a Pharisee's house. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honour at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honour, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honoured in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Have you ever sat in a seat and been asked to move? Someone has come to you and said, "This seat is reserved, and you need to go." How did it feel? If you haven't, perhaps you can imagine what it feels like to turn up and to sit in a seat, to be comfortable with where you're sitting, and then to be asked to move and to be asked to go down to the back corner. Because that's what we've just heard. We've just heard that in the Bible reading, that very thing. And I wonder what that feels like. Today we have the story of Jesus going to the house for a meal of a leader of the Pharisees on the Sabbath. I wonder why he was invited, because he wasn't liked by the Pharisees very much. He wasn't popular. Perhaps it was to set him up in some way. And we do hear the words that he was carefully watched. And it goes on to describe an incident where Jesus heals a man from dropsy, which is an abnormal swelling. And he does that on the Sabbath. And there's a whole interchange about that. And then Luke writes on, Jesus notices how the guests chose the places of honour. Like at a work dinner, when everyone tries to sit near the boss. Or at a dinner where you want to be seen and noticed. Or what about at a wedding? You know, at a wedding, we clearly have this flow of hierarchy. The head table with the seats reserved for the wedding party, the wedding couple, and then the close table. Those tables are the ones that have the close family and friends on it. And no one wants to be in the back corner. Because if you're in that back corner, you are close to not being invited, and you might be sitting next to that awkward aunt or that distant cousin that just had to be invited. And Jesus uses his wedding banquet in this parable. You know, whenever we come across a parable, we need to look for its context. It helps us to understand what the parable is actually saying. And the context here is a meal at a leading Pharisee's home. It's quite a show. It's a big deal. There's a lot of people. and they're manoeuvring for the better seats, and the guests are jostling each other. You know, eating together is potentially contentious time amongst the ancient Jews because their tradition contains so many rules and restrictions about how and what and when you could eat and even who you could eat with. And Jesus' previous mealtime visit to the home of a Pharisee had not gone well. It had erupted into conflict when he allowed a sinful woman to anoint his feet. And this meal is quite sensitive because it's on the Sabbath. So Jesus is walking around and he notices that everyone is trying to show off to everyone else to get the best seat at the table. And he says, don't pick the best seat and run the risk of being asked in front of everyone to go to the back corner, the lowest seat. Don't elbow yourself into that place of honor where you could end up red-faced. Or as the Message Bible puts it, don't walk around with your nose in the air or you'll end up flat on your face as you walk around to that lowest seat in front of everyone. Instead, he tells us to sit at the lowest place, the least important. It's better to wait for the host to regard you as a friend and ask you to sit in a higher place. To be regarded as a friend is a distinct honor. There's this polarity here, a contrast between shame and honor. Humility was not a virtue at the time. In fact, it was the opposite. It was shameful to not seek honor. Jesus is turning their value system completely upside down. Instead of exalting themselves, they're to be humble. And it's through humility that they'll be exalted. And then he turns to the host and he addresses him. And we know this is a prominent Pharisee. So this is a leader. He would have studied law. He would have had good standing, a good status, and be an expert in righteousness. And Jesus challenges him. Do not invite your friends, brothers and sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbours. You know, the ones with the pool and the fancy barbecue. There goes the Father's Day lunch. You know, Jesus lists four groups that we should not invite. Precisely the ones we do. And this doesn't mean that we shouldn't invite them at all because we know that Jesus ate with friends and relatives. In fact, it's an idiom. It's a turn of phrase. The literal is not X but Y. But in this idiom, it means not so much X as rather Y. And that was a common literary style at the time. So the teaching isn't to be taken literally. But there's a posture, there's an attitude, there's a principle to listen to here, an attitude to adopt. Perhaps the Father's Day lunch is back on again after all. You know, giving hospitality only to those who are able to return it was the norm in the ancient world. And here, Jesus rejects that norm. He's saying, don't invite for networking and self-promotion. It's not about increasing your social stock. Take no account of anyone's resume when making an invitation list. Invite those, not who benefit you, but those you can serve. He balances the first list with another list of four: the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. They were the social outcasts of the day. They were the very people that were barred from entering the Qumran community, a pious religious order of the day. And in this we hear that we're not to invite the powerful. We're not to prioritize that inviting of the powerful or the well-to-do or the neighbor with the pool because they might return the invitation. Instead, we're to prioritize inviting those who have never had such a meal, who can't return the favor, who will never be our superiors. The people that are shunned by society today. That's what it's saying. Instead of seeking power and social position in our current culture, we cultivate and we practice humility. God does not look at the glitter of our guest list or the status on our social media account or the position of our social media friends. We're not to discriminate. Jesus is protesting against discriminatory meal practices. Jesus and the Pharisees clearly ate differently. For Jesus, there is inclusion, foreshadowing the inclusiveness of God's kingdom. Perhaps it's time to learn new table manners. You know, Luke has more mealtime scenes than any of the other gospel writers. We have the parable of the prodigal son in the next chapter, and it ends with this festive meal. There's the Last Supper and the story of the road to Emmaus, which once again ends with a meal. And it's said that in Luke, Jesus is either going to a meal, at a meal, or coming from a meal. Meals are important to Luke. So it's not unsurprising that here in chapter 14, Luke has brought together two events about meals. And there are parallels between the two. There's a common pattern. So to the guests, when you are invited, do not sit in case. But when you are invited, sit at the lowest place so that then you will be honored and the humble will be exalted. And for the host, when you give a dinner, do not invite in case. We hear the same sort of language. But when you give a banquet, invite. You'll be blessed and you'll be repaid by God. In the Gospels, Jesus was a master of picking up the habits of people, of noticing people's behaviors. And they're strikingly similar to ours. And here he is saying, don't position yourselves. We can even do this as a church. Positioning ourselves as being the greatest church, better than others. We have it together. When Jesus says, when invited, don't sit in the honored place, he's telling us to beware of self-positioning ourselves. We're all tempted to do this. We're tempted to exalt ourselves. Instead, we look to God to position us, and we start that with humility, simply serving wherever God has us, individually and as a church. And as we follow the example of Jesus, we note that Jesus gave his life away. In baptism, we're able to identify with Christ in this. We give our life away by giving up our seat, by giving up our status, by giving up our time. And when we give up our position, we think of everyone differently and we invite those who can't repay. We stop wanting to promote ourselves. We stop looking at relationships that benefit us. Stop looking for people to give us something back. We invite those without position. Tim Heim from over at the college put up a tweet on Twitter a couple of days ago. A quote from the late John Smith from God's Squad, who I greatly admired. He said, "It's not what you earn, it's who you eat with. We're not defined by what we earn. We're defined by who we eat with." It's worth thinking about. You know, I think sometimes we see life as a battle of musical chairs. And I think we've all experienced musical chairs where there's one chair too few. And we scramble for those chairs. And as we go round, like on the screen at the moment, we're looking at the chairs. We're not looking at the others. We're looking at the chairs because when the music stops, we want a chair. And I've seen some interesting behavior at musical chairs, especially if it involves adults and children. And adults are the worst. We fight over a chair. Why? We fight for our own way, our pride. And in the end, we have one chair. And that one chair is alone. The first wins, the second is the first loser. When we win at the expense of others losing. We think there aren't enough chairs. And so we compete to win, and then we're alone. But we're created for community. We need community. Don't sit alone. There isn't one too few chairs. There are plenty of chairs. Find someone to sit with at school, at uni, at work, in the community, in our families. Wherever we find ourselves, find someone to sit with. In God's kingdom, we all get a seat. Don't build life on musical chairs, but on welcoming people to an empty seat. We invite people to the table. What really matters is the seat in the family of God. And there's a seat for each of us, and it's with others. It's not alone. The seat in the family of God is the seat of grace. And if you're struggling in life, God gives us grace. And if you're struggling with pride, let me introduce you to grace. And if you're struggling because you think you're not enough, that you're not worth anything, let me introduce you to grace. Because these are the seats of God's kingdom. And these are the seats of grace. If you give up your seat to invite other people, you receive a seat and it's with others. We have a mission of loving people, of offering a seat. The late Rachel Evans put it this way. This is what God's kingdom is like, a bunch of outcasts and oddballs gathered at a table, not because they are rich or worthy or good, but because they are hungry, because they said yes, and there's always room for more. These are the best seats. There's another way, God's way. Here we're not all perfect. Well, I'm not. I assume the rest of us aren't. We're not all perfect. No one here is more important than anyone else. And if we start thinking that we're better, and if we're honest, we do that at times. Try to be see-through, to focus on beyond ourselves. My life is not based on me. My life is based on us. Jesus is not commenting on social etiquette in this passage. Or how to get on in society. This is not a self-help passage. You know, the Pharisees were doing religion really well, but they were doing humility really badly. And I wonder if we're a bit the same sometimes. Jesus teaches us a different way to live. He brings a countercultural social system once again, and it includes a life of humility. Don't build your life on musical chairs. But welcoming people, all people, to an empty seat just for them. Jesus gave his life, took the lowest position, took the lowest chair, the position of the cross, so that we could be invited. And we know that Jesus is exalted in the highest place at the right hand of God, and God invites us to the meal in God's kingdom, God's way of living here on earth. God is the host who doesn't discriminate. All are invited, including those that are shunned by society in our day. All are invited, and that includes you and that includes me. In God's kingdom, God's reign here on earth, the best seats are offered by God to us and through us to others. There's a seat for you. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you that you welcome us, that you are the host. You offer each of us a seat in your kingdom, in your reign here on earth. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you gave your life. You took the lowest position so that we could be invited to the best seats and to offer the best seats to others. We are sorry for those times when we haven't come in humility, when we've treated others poorly, when we haven't sat next to that kid at school, when we haven't sat next to that workmate, when we haven't sat next to that stranger, when we've discriminated, when we haven't offered seats. Thank you that through Jesus' death on the cross, we can know forgiveness. Holy Spirit, lead us to the people to sit with, people who are lonely or shunned by society. Help us to be open and welcoming all and inviting all into our homes and into our church. This we pray in the name of Jesus.